This is a Rally Week in Review for April 6th, 2009. I'm James Turner, contributing editor for O'Reilly Media, and on this week's episode of Week in Review, we'll talk to several speakers who are going to be presenting at the upcoming O'Reilly Wear 2.0 conference next month. We'll have the answer to last week's pod quiz, and of course this week's pod quiz, which can win you any book in the O'Reilly catalog. All that on O'Reilly Week in Review. One of the upcoming Wear 2.0 speakers we chatted with last week was John Zelick, a researcher at the University of Waterloo, who is investigating the use of non-visual cues to help people navigate. For example, he has a vision system which warns blind people when they get too close to objects by sensory feedback to their hands. He also has a navigational system being experimented on with Alzheimer's patients, which gives GPS direction cues by poking them in the side with small actuators. He says that the research has had some surprising results.
For example, just recently, the tests with Alzheimer's patients, we found that with verbal cues, people with Alzheimer's tend to make mistakes when provided with directional information, as opposed to tactile cues. The researchers who are doing the experiments haven't found any scenarios where the person made a mistake. It's almost that the tactile information is at a lower level and the person responds. There isn't any cognitive processing associated with it.
Last week's pod quiz question was a shameless promotional bid for the comic strip that I am the writer of and a friend of mine is the artist for. We asked what other well-known web comic strip was planning an April Fool's surprise with The Watering Hole. The answer was User Friendly, drawn by Iliad, who I've known for a few years. The first person with the correct answer was David LaPointe of Worcester, Mass. David asked for Enterprise recipes with Ruby and Rails, which is going right out to him. Stay tuned later in the pod quiz. You might have a chance to win a book of your own. We've also recently talked to Jeff Holden, formerly a vice president at Amazon, who has gone on to form his own company, Pelago, which has a social networking product called Whirl, which helps users build stories which include geolocation, pictures, and text. One of the questions I asked Jeff is if people who happen to be standing in the background of all of these pictures which are now appearing in social networking sites might find that information that they wish to keep private can be inferred by their existence in all of those pictures.
Right. No, that's a very real situation. And, you know, there's going to be, like I said, you sort of have to expect that there's going to be a social kind of reaction to it and that things will kind of reach equilibrium at some point. But, you know, one of the things that's true is that, you know, these technology waves, cameras appearing on every phone, there's absolutely nothing anyone can do about that. It's just, it's an unstoppable wave. And so, you know, there's you can find ways of living your life in such a way that, you try not to, be influenced by that or affected by that. But, it gets harder and harder and harder because technology is everywhere. It's pervasive and it is capturing these moments. And even if you're not, actively, as you said, the first order effect of you giving up your own privacy is different from you being captured in somebody else's, story or something, and being discoverable that way. So I think that's just a reality of the sort of wave of technology moving forward.
This week's podcast quiz question takes us back to a simpler time. A time when most digital circuitry was built out of very small, discrete component chips. For example, when I was a young engineer, I spent a lot of time playing with the 7400 series of transistor-transistor logic, or TTL, logic chips. TTL was an alternative to the other type of logic chip known as CMOS, which operated at a slightly lower voltage, but tended to be a little bit more static sensitive. Now, there was the base version of the 7400 chips. 74000, for example, was a quad NAND gate chip, which meant there were four two-input NAND gates on it. Then there was the 74S series. 74SOO was the same chip, but in a Schottky variety, which was had slightly different electrical characteristics. Then there was the 74LS series. 74LSOO was the same chip with low-power Schottky electronics. And then there was the 74F series, for example, 74F00. Again, basically the same chip. For your chance to win any book in the O'Reilly catalog, tell us what the F stood for in the 74F series. If you know the answer, send it to podquiz, P-O-D-Q-U-I-Z, at O'Reilly.com. The first person to get us the correct answer will win their choice of any book in the O'Reilly catalog. If you live outside the United States, we're going to have to send you a PDF version. Good luck! That brings us to the end of yet another O'Reilly Week in Review. Join us next week for more analysis and insight from the O'Reilly authors, editors, and conference speakers. The theme music for O'Reilly Week in Review was composed and performed by Father Rock. For O'Reilly Media, I'm James Turner.